Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This program is sponsored by Everydot Black Entrepreneurs Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from Colossians, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse, and it reads, "Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." The Storytelling Time program this week is the second story coming from Chapter 2 of the book, Heaven Can't Wait, or Can It? The Fruition. The title of the story today is The Big Apple, Part 2, The Party. Before we start with our story, I would like us to consider the following tips for becoming an author. Here are some additional tips on becoming a professional author that was taken from the internet article entitled 11 Top Tips on Becoming an Author That Really Work. Last time we finished with tip number 4. We now take up from the last time with tip number 5, which is conquer your fear of failure. Consider this aspect of what the author says about this tip, and I quote, "On good days, I felt restless, and on bad days, I felt depressed by my lack of progress. Writing is a personal thing and not something you can fake or dial in. If you want to finish writing your book and become a successful professional writer, you'll fail many times before you get there." End of quote. Now, this is just a personal note for your encouragement, and that is, sometimes you just have to encourage yourself. Now we come to the 6th tip, which is to study the writing craft. The writing craft can take a lifetime to master and often involves many mistakes. Use these mistakes as learning opportunities that help you reach a goal. And finally, tip number 7 is this. It says to conquer your fear of success. According to the author, this tip says that, quote, "It's impossible to please everyone. So if some people aren't comfortable with your success, that's their problem. If you succeed, you'll discover a new side of yourself and your craft, which will only enrich your life." End of quote. Well, that's all we want to cover today. We will finish this advice on our next podcast with tips 8 through 11. We'll be right back with our story after a break. Stay with us. Welcome back. After arriving in the Big Apple, everyone eventually checked into the hotel and got situated in their rooms. Maggie had taken all the paperwork relating to the reservation she had received from Gates to the hotel's administrative office. She made sure that everyone had gotten to where they were supposed to be. Soon, they all had congregated back into the lobby. That's when Maggie said,
"Hey, everybody. I know it's been a long trip so far, but we've only gotten as far as New York City. At least we're here at the hotel and checked in. Phew, I'm sure glad of that. And Katie, I'm so happy you decided to come along with us, because you know so much about this place. New York, I mean. And thanks for giving that information on the taxi. We definitely need a way to get from here to where the Manleys are, because their hotel is so close to the park. By the way, Katie, how long have you and Wynn been living here?"
"It's been about 7 years now, Maggie, and I've missed being in Detroit so much. Especially times when we were back in college. Remember those days?"
"Do I remember? Girl, of course I remember. That's where my life really got started, on the campus of MCCU. It was on that night, And oh boy, on that night when I met Fred, you know, at that social after the basketball game.
Well, well, I'm glad you remember that, Meg, Fred interjected as he was listening to their conversation from nearby. Katie said to both Maggie and Fred,
"You two are such a nice couple, Maggie. When you introduced Fred to me and Corey, Fred, Corey was our roommate, if you remember."
"Of course I remember Corey," Fred replied. Then Fred said as he turned his attention to his wife, "Meg, I remember that girl trying to hit on me at the very time I had my attention on you. Yeah, but you know I only had eyes for you on that night."
"Well, Fred, that was a wonderful night, but it was a long time ago. Are you saying that you only had eyes for me then? What about now, Fred?"
Maggie asked. "Wait a minute, Meg. I think you're getting too caught up in reminiscing. You know I only have eyes for even you right now," Fred explained. To change the tone of the conversation, Fred then asked Katie, "Well, Katie, have you heard from Corey?"
"Before I answer your question, Fred, I just love when you two have a lover's quarrel. Anyway, to answer that question you asked me, no, I have not heard from Corey. We kind of lost touch with one another after we graduated. I heard that she was in California, somewhere in the Bay Area, I think."
In keeping with the jovial mood everyone was having at the time, Katie jokingly said to Fred,
"Now going back to the lover's quarrel I said you and Maggie had, you do know, Fred, you may have had eyes for only Maggie at that social. But let me tell you, Maggie's fortunate that she got to you first. I mean, that Corey had her eyes on you that night. I could tell. She was really trying to hit on you, as you said."
"Oh, Katie," Fred replied before Katie continued.
"But listen, Fred, you are right. What you said a moment ago, I could tell your eyes were stuck on Maggie. I mean, the way you two were dancing that night, being serenaded by the song, Georgia on My Mind, I knew something was going on between you two. But you know, I often wondered what in the world you two were saying to one another on the dance floor that night."
"Yeah, Katie, you know that I've always had eyes only for Meg, ever since I saw her that night." Fred again expressed his commitment to Maggie. Then he added, "But listen to me, Katie. If you think I'm going to tell you what we talked about on that dance floor that night, as we serenaded to the music of Gladys Knight, well, I'm not. But I will say it has something to do with you."
"What?"
Katie asked in amazement. Then she said,
"Now, Fred, you have to tell me now. What was it? Come on, Fred. You got to tell me. I'm curious now. Please tell me, what was it?"
Fred replied, "Now, Katie, you know I'm not going to tell you our secrets, and don't you go to Meg and try to get information from her either. We have an understanding to keep some things to ourselves."
"Well, okay. You don't have to tell me,"
Katie relented. Maggie jumped into the discussion and said,
"Enough of this jabbering back and forth, you two. We all need to get to our rooms to get some rest. I will say that was a special night back then, but we're here in New York City now, not back at MCCU. We need to focus on what we'll be doing later today and into the evening. Believe me, there will be a lot to keep our attention, so let's forget about the past and just have a good time here in the city."
"That sounds good to me, Maggie."
So everyone parted ways, going to their separate rooms. Maggie and Fred, as well as Katie and Wynn, had departed. Sandra also had gone to her own room. They would meet up with Gates and Courtney later. They were staying at another hotel, the Sheraton near Times Square. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. After a quick lunch and some rest, Maggie's group, minus Courtney and Gates, reassembled back in the lobby of the hotel. Only Wynn remained behind because he overslept. Everyone carried on casual conversation as they awaited his arrival. They all were ready to go to their first event of the day. When Katie finally saw her son coming into the lobby, she said,
"Come on in here, Wynn. We're ready to go."
Sorry, Mama. Sorry, I overslept, but I'm ready." Instead of taking a taxi as they had discussed, they rode in a shuttle from their hotel to the one where Courtney and Gates were staying, the Sheraton near Broadway. After arriving, Maggie led the group into the lobby of the hotel and waited for the Manleys to join them. Soon after that, they saw their friends.
"Hello, everyone,"
Gates said to the group as he and Courtney entered the lobby. Maggie greeted them.
"Hello, Gates and Courtney. We've been here for a few minutes, but we're ready to go now to this concert in Central Park. By the way, how was your business meeting, Gates?"
"It was fine, Maggie. But as meetings go, I was glad to get out of it. Now I'm ready to have some fun."
Then Courtney said, "Well, let's go. I can't wait to get to this festival in the park you were talking about, Maggie." Then Maggie replied,
"Okay then, you all. But Courtney, we can grab a bite to eat before we head to the park."
Just as Courtney agreed with those plans, Gates realized he was scheduled to be at another engagement at that time, in another part of the hotel. So he said suddenly,
"Hey, Courtney, I just remembered we have this meeting to attend right now." "Yeah, it's another meeting I'd forgotten about."
"Oh no, Gates," was Courtney's simple response. Then Gates said,
"Sorry about that, honey. I had forgotten all about this meeting."
Then he said to everyone and to Maggie,
"And to all you guys, especially you, Maggie, sorry I hadn't thought about this meeting, but we'll join you guys at the concert a little later."
"What? I mean, you're a busy man,"
was Maggie's response. Maggie was never delighted when her plans were altered in any way, but this time decided to go with the flow. She knew they would see the Manleys later at the concert. With this mentality, Maggie said to him,
"Well, okay, Gates, we'll see you two there at the concert. Yeah, you and Courtney go ahead and do what you must do, and we'll see you over at the park later. We'll be sitting near the front, and we'll save your seats."
"Thanks, Maggie. You're so understanding."
Minus Courtney and Gates, Maggie and the rest of her group went to the hotel restaurant for a bite to eat. After having their meal, they all spent some time there just conversing with one another. After the main course, they decided to have a dessert. Discussions continued as everyone savored the sweetness they were devouring. Then Maggie realized that they should be thinking about heading to the park for the festival, the concert. Yes, the party they were about to have. Just as she was ready to make an announcement to everybody of her thoughts, while not yet quite finished their meal, Maggie heard her cell phone ring, and she answered.
"Hello."
"Hello, Maggie."
"Oh, hello, Gates."
"Hey, Maggie. I'll tell you the reason why I'm calling. I was hoping you all had not left for the park yet. Are you guys ready to leave now?"
"Yeah, Gates. We're getting ready to leave now."
"Well, I was calling to tell you that they canceled the meeting we were going to go to. So as it turns out, we can meet you here at the hotel before you leave. But I wouldn't want to hold you up."
"Okay, Gates. That's great. We just finished eating and now we're back in the hotel lobby. If you two can come here now, we will meet you and then we can all head over to the park."
"Okay, Maggie. That sounds like a plan. We'll be there in 10 minutes."
"Okay, Gates. We'll see you then. Bye."
"Bye."
So, Maggie's group finished their meal and went to the hotel lobby where they lingered for a while. After a few minutes, Courtney and Gates were seen walking towards them in the distance. As the couple approached the group, Maggie said to the couple,
"Hey, Gates and Courtney, glad you could make it back."
"Yeah, we're back and we're ready to head to the park."
"Courtney, you look like you're a little out of breath. Take a minute to cool down and we'll be going shortly."
"Thanks, Maggie. Yeah, we walked kind of fast to get back here." Courtney replied. Then Maggie said to everyone in the group,
"Okay, everybody, I think we're ready to go now. The Manleys are here, and I'm ready to party and to listen to some good music."
"All right now,"
Gates said with much enthusiasm. "Let's take a break, and we'll be back shortly." Welcome back. Now that everyone in the group was together, they left the lobby through a side entrance of the hotel. When they exited, suddenly the sound of the city met them. They had left behind the tranquility of soft background music in the hotel lobby. Now they were among thousands of people on the crowded sidewalks of Manhattan. It was Wynn's first time in this borough of the city, the part of the Big Apple that most people are familiar with. Most tourists are familiar with from all around the country and the world. Yes, this is what New York City is known for. All the skyscrapers, traffic congestion, and crowded sidewalks. Wynn never got a chance to come to this part of the city while growing up. The group finally was on their way to Central Park, where the festival was taking place. They all took the 4-block walk. Katie was a fast walker, so it was difficult for some in the group to keep up with her. Maggie, Fred, and Sandra kept pace reasonably well, as did Gates and Courtney. But Wynn was a different story. His focus strayed to the world around him as he marveled at the architecture as well as the height of the buildings. "Okay, now I see why they call these buildings skyscrapers," he said to himself. As Wynn navigated the foot traffic, he tried to avoid people walking from the opposite direction by having an occasional glance at what was in front of him. He was so intrigued with his surroundings that he fell farther and farther behind the others in the group as they proceeded to their destination. Numerous small restaurants and pubs that were dimly lit inside lined the sidewalks. Several small shops and brightly illuminated convenience stores that were filled with patrons also were in view of those walking by. Some pedestrians seemed to be taking a reprieve from the crowd and noise outside, as well as from the extremely high temperatures on this warm and sunny day, by venturing into some of these establishments. Beyond the shadows of the tall buildings, primarily at pedestrian crossings at street intersections, sunlight pierced through the shadow of skyscrapers onto the street. Otherwise, within a typical block, sunlight was held at bay by the shadows, making it appear much darker at midday and lessening the intensity of the heat. Vehicular traffic moved so slowly that to Wynn it seemed to take forever for motorists to get to their destinations. Horns blew frequently, signifying drivers' frustration, and sirens from emergency vehicles sounded from multiple directions. Amidst the clatter of people and vehicles in this urban street scene, Wynn felt fortunate to live with his mother in the more serene setting of Staten Island. After the group walked for another 3 or 4 blocks, they crossed a major boulevard and entered the park. Suddenly, the brick and concrete of the city's physical landscape gave way to the natural beauty of Central Park, with all its nature and with its abundant greenery, including trees, shrubbery, and flowering plants. Even birds could be heard chirping in the trees. To Wynn, even this relative serenity was not like the peacefulness of home in Staten Island. But they had finally gotten away from all the hustle and bustle that New York City is known for. In the park, the noise diminished as well as the concentration of people, and activity had slowed to a more relaxed pace. By now, it was 3:30 in the afternoon, with the sun still beaming. But shadows prevailed in Central Park as Maggie's group was surrounded by trees instead of buildings and concrete. As they progressed further into the park, the sound of a band playing overwhelmed the relative serenity of the park environment. A musical group named the Board Five soon would be performing, as advertised. Yes, the show would soon begin. Katie led everyone to what seemed to be a perfect spot to view the artists. They had a clear view of the stage, only five rows of seats away. Before they arrived, they had to rent lawn chairs that were available at a utility shop. With their space secured near the front of the stage, they purchased some refreshments from a nearby food stand. Soon, everyone was comfortably seated and ready to enjoy the opening act. Quickly, the whole area behind them became filled with patrons anticipating a good show. The first performers were progressive country singers, which thrilled Wynn because he was a country music fan. He was eager to listen to the songs from these local artists. After that, several groups arrived and sang beach music to the crowd's delight. Despite enjoying the concert, the real thrill of the vacation would not come until the next day when all in the group would be on a cruise ship heading towards Bermuda. Nonetheless, they looked forward to the main act, the Board Five, one of many popular beach artists in the city. With the band playing their opening song, the main act took the stage, and it was hard for everyone present to remain in their seats.
Come on, everybody. Let's get up and dance a little. We don't have to move from our spot,
Sandra said.
That's what I'm talking about, Sandra.
Katie shouted. So, everyone responded to what Sandra had said and to what Katie had confirmed. Most in attendance at the show danced without restraint while listening to Board Five. Oh, for just this moment, everyone's focus was on the musical group that was before them, ready to sing the melody that the band was already playing. They were ready to sing their first song. In the back of everybody's minds, however, was on Tuesday, the day of their departure to Bermuda. Let's take another break. We'll be right back to finish the story. Welcome back. As the Board Five were singing their song, Maggie and Fred stepped away from the group to get more refreshments. When they returned to the entrance of the venue, they gazed into each other's eyes with joy. They marveled at how much fun everyone was having. While not dancing like everyone else, the two of them were having the time of their lives on this sunny afternoon in the park. Soon, Maggie and Fred returned to their seats and joined the others in enjoying the music and the festive occasion. As sunset approached and twilight fell on them, temperatures dropped almost to the point where a light jacket was needed. Behind the crowd was the city skyline, and the glare of car lights and flashing neon signs awaited them. The day transitioned into early evening, and the glitter that represented nightlife in New York City became illuminated and highly visible. What a perfect prelude to their cruise this day had been. Maggie had made reservations at a restaurant on a side street off Broadway, not far from Times Square, and near the hotel where Courtney and Gates stayed. Meanwhile, everyone continued to enjoy the Board Five. After the concert, everyone started their walk toward the boulevard in front of the park. Soon, they were back in the hustle and bustle of the city's street life. Members of Maggie's group, while walking together, continued their way to a restaurant close by where Maggie had already made reservations. It was a brisk walk from the park to Winston's Grill, with Maggie leading the way. It was now nighttime, as the intensity of the city's street life had decreased from what it was earlier during the day. Soon, the members of Maggie's group would arrive at their destination. She led them near the front entrance to the restaurant, then entered. Once inside, again, everyone was met with the tranquility that was absent outside, being assisted by soothing background music. After being seated and placing their orders with an attendant, everyone enjoyed a sumptuous meal. Casual conversation ensued afterwards. Knowing what the next day would bring, they soon exited the establishment and then walked a short distance back to the hotel. Knowing what the next day would bring, they soon exited the establishment and then walked a short distance back to the hotel. Katie, for one, was confident that everyone had a good time, even Wynn, who didn't want to come along with the group prior to his mother's constant urging him to go with them. During their walk to the hotel, Katie said to her son,
"Now, Wynn, aren't you glad you came along with us?"
"Yes, Mom. I must admit, I did have a good time," he answered.
Once everyone had returned to the hotel, the remainder of the night was spent preparing for their departure the next day, on Tuesday. After a good night's rest, the next day arrived. Tuesday was before them, and soon they would be on their way to Bermuda. Yes, now everything was about Tuesday, the day of their cruise to that paradise island in the Atlantic. Well, that's all for today. In closing, I'd like to say, and would like you to remember, whatever you may be going through, even in good times, like when the members of Maggie's group were having fun at their party, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.